said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome, everyone, to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And we have with us today, of course, Joe himself.
I'm here.
And that is Joe Barber, a long, long, long time chicken person. And today we have a very special first guest. Now, I bet none of our listeners ever suspected that there would be a strong intersection between chickens and future technology and fuel sources.
I didn't.
And so we have with us today Dr. Richard Wohl. And he is going to talk about chicken feathers and nanotube technology.
Wow, that's different. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Karin and Joe. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Thank you.
And I'd be very happy to talk about chicken feather technology with you. But let me just begin by saying that the U.S. does a fantastic job in producing chickens, and we're feeding ourselves, and we're feeding a goodly fraction of the rest of the world as well. And in so doing, we generate a byproduct called the chicken feathers. Actually, the vast majority of us never see these chicken feathers because they are taken off to a landfill, or they are used as in other fashions to make animal food, etc. So this was brought to our attention some years back when we made the first all-Delaware composite. I'm at the University of Delaware in the Chemical and Biomolecular Engineering Department. And we decided that we would make the all-Delaware composite. Delaware is very big also in chickens, and it's also big in soybeans. So we know how to make very high-performance materials from soybeans. In fact, we made John Deere tractor parts out of soybeans, and composites are two-component materials. They have fibers, and they have this glue that bonds them all together, just like a fiberglass.
Wow.
And so we use the chicken feathers as the fibers, and they were quite beautiful.
And now, Joe, what do you do with chicken feathers after you process your chickens?
Okay, mine are all incinerated. We have an incinerator that takes care of all the, you know, the stuff you don't use, and it's a propane incinerator, and that's where mine go.
And so rather than incinerating them, Dr. Wohl, you're carbonizing them in a different way, right?
Yeah, we discovered several very interesting things to do with the chicken feathers. We made beautiful composite materials out of them, and then we pyrolyzed them pretty much using Joe's technique, using the heat from his propane lamp. But instead of incinerating them, we're heating them up in a nitrogen atmosphere so they don't burn, but they tend to cure. And we do this at very precise temperatures, so they actually strengthen while we heat them for a particular time. And then they become nanoporous, and then we store hydrogen on them, effectively using them as a hydrogen sponge. So that's been one application. Another application is to use these in printed circuit boards, you know, your ubiquitous epoxy board that you, every time you look at one of your electronic materials, you see these epoxy boards all over the printed circuit boards. And so we discovered how to use the air in the chicken feather fibers to actually make very lightweight but very high-speed electronic materials. And because, believe it or not, a chicken feather contracts when you heat it up, the so-called negative coefficient of thermal expansion. That allows us to exactly match the expansion of copper on the printed circuit boards, the copper wiring. And that eliminates thermal fatigue that causes most of your electronic materials to fall apart with use.
Right. Well, the chicken feathers won't overheat like copper does?
The way you use your cell phone or your computer, the temperatures are not too high. And so the copper wires that are printed on these chicken feather boards expand and contract at the same rate. So there's no tension on the copper wires. What tends to happen with epoxy boards is that the epoxy board expands more than the copper wire, and it's basically like putting your copper wires on a mini rack. And so when you turn on your computer, it heats up, and that raising temperature of 10, 20 degrees or so is oftentimes enough to pop the wires.
That's amazing.
These microelectronic materials. That's been one application. One of my favorite applications, actually, is to use it for oil spills. The chicken feather fibers have the ability to attract oil, as you know. You've seen all the sad pictures of the birds down around the Gulf Coast and oil spills.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
If you cut these chicken feather fibers small enough, we're talking about the little hairs on the feather, not just using the feather itself as a sponge, but basically using microfibers of the chicken feathers, what they will do on the surface of the ocean is they will self-assemble dynamically and spread out and capture entrap the oil in this elastic sheet on the surface. It's a very, very nice application to treat an oil spill.
Wow.
That sounds amazing, like something you'd see in a science fiction movie.
Yeah. I guess so. I'll never think of feathers like that again. You know, I always, you know, thought feathers were just a pain to deal with.
Absolutely. So the next time you hear about an oil spill in the Gulf, think of bombing it with bales of chicken feather fiber. And that would be an great application. And the surface of the water essentially turns into an elastic sheet with the oil entrapped in it. As the chicken feather fibers, they self-assemble on the surface. They percolate out over the ocean surface in a very dynamic, interesting way. The birds would be pleased.
So the feathers basically you get for nothing. So that must cut the cost down of manufacturing this stuff, right?
Well, yes. And you would be talking about a very green substitute for things that are currently being used. And you know about all kinds of chemical treatments, of course, that were used in the last BP oil spill in the Gulf. And right. You know, the next time the next oil spill comes along, and hopefully it won't be too soon, there are other solutions that one could use. But this would be an ideal application of these chicken feather fibers in huge volumes. What kind of volumes are we talking about? It's about 6 billion pounds a year in the USA alone.
It has to be big numbers, yeah.
And,
is there any other stuff coming with this? Is there any?
Well, you know, I am going to cut you both off now. We are running out of time for this segment. Dr. Wool Joe always hates when I do this to him, but, you know, we are a radio show and we do need to leave a little time for the sponsors and have you all take a break for a second. Folks, we will be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And we are talking chicken feathers and nanotechnology and even how to clean up oil spills like the horrible one in the Gulf and do it in an environmentally friendly and green way. What could be better than that?
We'll
be right back with more.
I'm a green
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show. Now, I'm not a chicken. I'm a human, but that's okay. And you hear Joe laughing in the background. We have Dr. Wool with us now. You did not come at this whole problem as a chicken person to start out with, Dr. Wool, right? You're a chemistry person?
I am a chemical engineer at the University of Delaware. I'm not a chemist, also.
So who thought of the chicken feathers? Who come up with that idea? How did that come about?
That was an idea that came up at one of my research group meetings one day when we decided, let's make the old Delaware composite. 50% chicken feather fiber, 50% soybean oil, and we did. And it was fantastic, and it showed at the Delaware State Fair, and the chief engineer from Tyson Food was there and called me up and said, "Professor Wool, how would you like 2 billion pounds of chicken feather fibers for free?" So we said we would take them, and I called the dean, and I said I had some unusual storage problems next year. And he said, "What kind of storage problems?" I said, "It's about a football field, 100 yards high."
Wow. So how did you store them?
Well, the football team wasn't doing too well that year, so.
Wow.
And you were talking about composite materials, and could you explain that a little bit more? I know if you look at a chicken feather under a microscope, it's an amazing, delicate, beautiful thing, but I never thought of it as, you know, a fiber for use in composite materials.
Yeah, so... The fibers that we get from the chicken feathers are not the entire feather itself that you would hold in your hand and use as an old-fashioned pen. I'm talking about the hairs that are actually attached to the quill. And so these are removed. There's a company that does that, Feather Fiber Corporation, and they actually deliver what's pretty much called the fluff, or in duck parlance, it's called the eiderdown. Mm-hmm. You know, that we used to use to stuff pillows and sofas back in the good old days.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's a very soft material, and, you know, the feather fibers are typically about half an inch long, as you can imagine. And and then these are woven into a mat by a certain air-laying process, and then they're infused with our liquid molding resins made from soybean oil. And the whole thing bonds together into our first application was a printed circuit board. And this is a beautiful, lightweight material with a so-called very low dielectric constant that allows the electrons to run around the copper wires much faster than they would if they were attached to an epoxy board. So this material had excellent properties, and as I mentioned earlier on, it also reduced thermal fatigue in your electronic materials. So it's
amazing.
A very, very nice application.
Yeah, I would have never thought of this.
Well, that's why we have you raising the chickens and Dr. Wolf figuring out what to do with the down from the feathers. Now, we've
talked a perfect collaboration. In fact, at the University of Delaware, we have our chicken farm labs, and And that's where we get a lot of very, very good advice from our food science and our farming colleagues. So we don't do this alone, I can assure you. We have the farmers giving us their expert advice and input all along the way.
Wow. Now, would there be a difference in using, like, duck feathers or goose feathers rather than chicken feathers? Has anybody thought of that, or does it matter?
It matters a little bit, but it doesn't matter a lot. The chicken feather fibers are your typical white broiler fibers, and the duck feathers tend to have darker colors, as you can imagine, a mallard duck. Mm-hmm. But the properties are essentially the same. All the birds make these feather fibers that are hollow. They're made of keratin fibers. They have a certain molecular composition from amino acids that we understand. And they all essentially behave the same way. So we heat them up and we cure them. We cross-link the fibers, and that strengthens them and makes them better composite materials. And then we can do certain little tricks, like use them to store hydrogen for future hydrogen-powered vehicles.
Wow. Yes, I wanted to get into that, because I've heard for many, many years, hydrogen is going to be the future economy, the future fuel economy, but it's never gone anywhere because of the difficulty of storing hydrogen, I understand.
Yeah, there are several parts of the hydrogen issue, and hydrogen storage is certainly a very big one. The problem with the hydrogen is that it likes to occupy a lot of space. And so if you just try to compress it as a gas, you'd have a gigantic gas tank. You'd have the Goodyear blimp following your car around and provide the hydrogen. So to compress it into a liquid requires too much energy and would be too expensive. And so what you'd like to do is develop a hydrogen-absorbing material that basically soaks up the hydrogen on its internal structure and allows the hydrogen to come off. And this is basically what the chicken feather fiber does when you pyrolyze it, heat it up, and it forms all of these nanopores, very high internal surface area, and the hydrogen goes in and basically forms a two-dimensional solid when it absorbs on the surface and gives you decent energy density in these fibers. But, the hydrogen generation is going to go forward. There are excellent fuel cells. But the source of hydrogen is still an issue. So we're looking towards renewable energy to generate the hydrogen that can be stored in these tanks.
Mm. Amazing.
And so a tank made of these chicken nanotube-type fibers, and, I'm sure by the time it's common there'll be a smoother way to say that, would take up, instead of the size of a Goodyear blimp, you could store a similar amount in how much space?
In about a third of a cubic meter. That was 80% filled with these carbonized chicken feather fiber, you could drive about 500 kilometers, around 300 miles. And this could be done at reasonably low pressures, but at the moment it's got to be done at 77 degrees Kelvin, and that's one of our technical problems at the moment. So we either operate at these so-called cryogenic low temperatures, or we learn to modify the chicken feather fibers so they can store sufficient hydrogen at room temperature.
Right. This sounds so cool because, of course, I, as a small child, I was reading science fiction and expecting these things to happen, and using the chicken feather fibers to soak up oil spills, to create that elastic-like surface, that is just incredible.
And it is. Wow.
And so, Joe, you'll have to look at your chickens in a whole different way.
I guess I am now. But, wow. I mean, who thought? Who knew?
If you asked why did the chicken cross the road, I think you know the answer.
Uh-huh. Yes, absolutely. Dr. Wool, you're at the University of Delaware. Do you have a website or an email address if anybody had wanted to ask you questions? Because I'm sure I wouldn't be able to answer any questions they had for you.
Yes, I am Wool, like on sheet, W-O-O-L, at udel.edu. So it's wool at udel.edu.
Excellent. I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. We just, you know, it's completely different than how we normally think of chickens.
It's true. I just said, you know, I'm just sitting there going, wow, who knew? Who would have thought of that?
Well, the team at the University of Delaware. Folks, we are running out of time. We'll be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS, on the web at myfiaa.com.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Well, welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. You know, we are going from one end of things to the other. We are now going to one of the lowest spots in the continental United States. I know Hawaii is further south. We have with us Tom Sweets from Key West, Florida.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for having me. I appreciate you taking the time to get me on.
Oh, God, yes. I've got a lot of people that are going to be listening. I told them you were going to be on, and then everybody's all excited about talking about Key West chickens.
And, oh, yeah, and I'm sure you can probably hear them in the background here. We've got them up in the clinic. We've got a few that are injured back, a couple of roosters that we just got in that were injured, and we're not too far from our little chicken yard outside. So, yes, they're actually going to be part of the interview, too, I think.
Yeah, okay. Well, I guess my first question is, Tom, is how do these chickens come about running all around Key West?
That's a great question, and that's we get asked that a lot of times during the week. But I can tell you it's a funny story. As most things in Key West, there's a lot of different things that go into it. It's not any one story. You ask 10 different people here the question, and you might hear 10 different answers. So over the years, we've sort of come to understand it's a little bit of each person's story. It's a lot of different things that went into it. But, you know, it starts really, I guess, back. There is a rumor here that a long time ago, more than 200 years ago, that there were chickens brought here by the Spanish. Now, that's sort of where it usually starts. That's the earliest that we hear about a story of someone bringing them. I do know that over 200 years ago, there were chickens kept here for food up on Stock Island, which is the next island up the chain from Key West.
Right.
Those were more domestic type of roosters. Now, what typically goes into the Key West variety, we're talking game fowl here, and a lot of those birds came over from Cuba. Now, you know, up until about the 1920s, Key West was a major cigar-producing capital. There were a lot of fires in the 1920s, and they had to move a lot of the cigar factories. And so a lot of these Cuban workers had chickens here for food and for eggs. And when they moved the cigar factories, a lot of these birds were released. A lot of the workers went up to Tampa and released their birds on the island. So that's sort of how it all got started.
Aha. Okay. Well, that's what I was wondering. And Do you have any idea how many chickens are running loose in Key West? Everybody's asked me that.
we don't have any,
specific
count
numbers,
of them,
right?
But I can tell you we do about 1,200 of them a year through our doors. So we see about 1,200 a year. So that's just a small amount that we're able to get out of the streets through our operations. And I can explain a little bit about that. But there are a lot of them. It's just, there's really only probably just over 20,000 permanent year-round human residents here. And the way it looks some days, I would say there's more chickens here than people, but there's certainly a lot. I guess I'll make it simple that way.
Yeah, I know. Every time I've gone to Key West, I mean, it's just amazing watching these birds, how they survive dodging cars and running in and out of restaurants and on and on. It's just amazing how they've adapted.
And yeah, are the chickens protected on Key West?
Yes. Now, this sort of – it's part back to the same story that you know, where they all came from. Once the cigar factories relocated and then a lot of these birds were, released, then gradually their numbers grew up until the 1990s when it really started to take off. So in the 90s, there was a vote taken up whether either to, eradicate them or protect them. So it is a strange situation. They are a protected feral population. So, go figure how that all got worked out, but that's Key West for you.
Uh-huh. Now, when you adopt these chickens out, and like you say, there's no cost to them, it's just a donation kind of thing, that if people want to adopt Key West chickens?
Yeah, it's we do adopt, and what we do is we run a chicken rescue, and we're also a wildlife center, so I can tell you a little bit about what we do. We cover everything from mile marker 0 to 15. Our main focus is wild birds. We also rescue sea turtles. We're covered under FWC permits. We work with the Marathon Turtle Hospital, so we rescue sea turtles as well. Now, all of that part of the business is done through donations, but we are funded by the City of Key West with a concession agreement in order to rescue sick, injured, and orphaned Key West chickens, and then we provide care, and then we find them adoptive outlets. Most of them are outside of Monroe County, the county that we live in.
Right.
Now, another service that we perform, we don't go and rescue healthy birds. We're only a staff of two, so we will take them in. If a business or an individual wants to get them off their property, then they can trap them, bring them to us, and we will provide care and then find them adoptive outlets.
Mm-hmm. Now, at any given time, how many do you have? Like right now, how many chickens do you have out in your?
We're probably getting close to about 100. We don't try to go too much higher than that. We don't want to get them overcrowded here. We're very lucky that since we took over the Wildlife Center in 2011, we've worked really hard to find outlets for them. So we've actually come up with a large number of people that will adopt them. The main place that we get to adopt them to is a 3,000-acre farm animal rescue up in just north of Lake Okeechobee. But there's a lot of other places. So we generally try to, once we get about 100 birds, then we'll go ahead and do a run, a chicken run, and get them distributed to a number of different places.
Now, can you, for those of us who are not near Key West, who have never been to Key West, Tom, I'm up right outside of Boston, Massachusetts, so, you're a little ways from me. Can you describe the Key West chickens for me? Because I understand they don't look like, your average Rhode Island Red.
No, that's absolutely true. It's a very strange mix, and, we're talking game fowl here, so I think it's Gallus gallus. So they are they're known for their beauty. They're very beautiful. Large mix of different colors, tall red comb, also, just a variation of colors. We've got pretty much the entire spectrum from completely black birds to completely white birds. But then you have all the different mixtures in between. A lot of the roosters have gold, yellow, tan colors, also this sort of iridescent blue, greens. There's some sort of rosy red iridescent in there, too. It's no two really look alike, but they all have similar they're not the largest standing chickens. They're sort of small. They don't have a lot of meat on them. They're certainly not meat-producing chickens. They're more game fowl, so they're stringy, muscly, low to the ground. and very brightly colored, with every kind of mix and match that you could imagine.
Well, that's amazing. They call them rainbow roosters around here. They go, all the rainbow roosters from Key West.
That's a perfect name. Yeah, I've never heard that, but that's a perfect description of them.
Yeah, and that's what got me interested, and that's why I wanted to hook up, and I'm going to get me some, Karen. I'm going to hook up with Tom.
Now, what you don't know, Tom, is every time we talk about a new kind of chicken on the show, you know, I feel like I ought to send a little postcard to Joe's wife saying, I'm warning you, he's getting more chicken.
Now, well, we're happy to have good outlets for him, so that's great.
Yeah.
We are running out of time for this segment, and I know, Joe, sure, you could talk till the cows come home and the chickens are all home to roost. So, folks, we will be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers remote trainers have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-collar technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Collars that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust, mites, and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's pawsnsilk.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And we have Tom Sweets with us talking about the chickens of Key West. And that sounds like it ought to be a title of a documentary or something.
It sounds interesting anyway. And Tom, what is your title down there? I guess we never got to that.
I'm the executive director at the Key West Wildlife Center. Like I said, you know, we also run a wildlife rescue and rehabilitation program. You know, and the island's 2 by 4 miles, and all of these chickens are running around. So the city really needed someone to sort of at least, you know, try to get medical care to ones that are sick and injured. And, you know, you had mentioned earlier about dodging cars, that kind of thing. We really deal with a lot of that kind of thing.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's such a small place, and you are the wildlife coordinator there as well. How much have the chickens impacted? Because I know the ecosystem on an island can be very delicate. How much have the chickens impacted the local flora and fauna?
Well, you know, it's funny. We do, South Florida here, and in extreme South Florida, we do have a lot of non-native issues here. We have a large contingent of green iguanas as well, just like the chickens. Now, the iguanas displace butterflies and hummingbirds. The chickens themselves I'm sure there are some species that they displace, but their impact environmentally is not as terrible as some of the others, the lionfish and the iguanas. I'm sure there is some bird habitat that they probably, you know, displace other species, but they've been here for so long and in such numbers that, you know, they sort of dominate that stratus of where they are. So they're not, there are no species that they're directly threatening, you know, at the moment or pushing them out. We've got some other avian species like myna birds, things like that, that are sort of creating a big problem. But, you know, they are non-natives, but they've sort of scratched out a living here for so long that they've really become part of the ecosystem in Key West.
That's amazing how they've adapted. Gosh, so if somebody wants to get some chickens, especially the ones here in Florida, because you don't ship them out of the state, do you?
That's correct. We don't. I know that there are some people that mail them, put them through the U.S. mail, but I just feel that we work so hard to you know, rehabilitate the ones that we get that anywhere we're welcome to you know, get chickens homes anywhere, but it would sort of be a requirement that they need to be picked up, and, you know, if somebody wanted to plan a trip and pick them up, that's usually how we work here.
Right. Uh-huh. Okay. And now how would they get a hold of you? Is there a,
well, our
got
phone
a number,
number
or a
is,
website?
That would be area code 305-292-1008. That's probably the main way. We also have a Facebook, which is KWWC, so that would be Key West Wildlife Center, KWWC Chickens. We've just started that recently. We have Facebook for Key West Wildlife Center, but since we need to keep the two businesses separate, the wild birds and the chickens, so we started another Facebook. So it's KWWC Chickens, and then we do have a website, which is KeyWestWildlifeCenter.org.
Okay. Now, do these chickens come with a certificate or anything that says they come from Key West? I heard somebody told me they did.
Yeah, now, we certainly can provide that, yes. Not everyone requests them, but yes, we offer them, and if people would like them, we certainly have those available. That is true.
Yeah, because I had a neighbor that said, I want some Key West chickens with a certificate. And I said, well, I'll ask Tom when I get him on the phone.
Oh, yes. We do have one of those that we can give to people, and some people really like this. That's what's so wonderful about this. You know, we have a big 3,000-acre farm animal rescue, like I told you about, that'll take them. We have there's an organic orange orchard that uses them, you know, to eat bugs. And then there's a lot of little mom-and-pop ranches, farms, that kind of thing throughout Florida that like having them. And, you know, some people like them for their decorative value. Some people like them because they will defend the flock. You know, they're amazing birds. They will fight to the death against, you know, hawks, raccoons, that kind of thing. Whenever a hawk flies over, you know, they sound the warning. And so some people like to have them to protect their other flocks. Some people like to have them for ornamental reasons. You know, it's nice. They're such a varied breed that, you know, people just really in all different walks of life end up adopting them from them.
Now, are they good layers, or I know, because you said they're not really good for a meat bird because they're kind of stringy.
Right, and you're absolutely right. Your thinking is right on point with that, because they are not known for their meat production, and also they do lay eggs, but it's really only during the spring that you're going to have a heavy amount of eggs. Now, they do lay year-round, but not in any, you know, heavy numbers of eggs. Your heaviest egg production is going to be in the spring. That's when you see the moms and the little biddies all around Key West. And then, you know, it's, so it's certainly not heavy layers, but during the spring, you'll get one egg a day from a hen. You know, that'll last for probably a couple months, and then it'll taper off a little. You'll still get them sort of sporadically, but not on a regular basis.
Oh, wow. That's a game bird in them. Yeah, just doing it. Wow, that's amazing. It really is. Now, you don't have any set amount that people can adopt? I mean, you know, they can adopt like 2 or 20 or whatever, right?
No. I mean, it's not. We don't charge for the service. You know, right. We're happy just to get them homes. You know, we're always willing to accept donations, but there's certainly no fee involved, you know, with the chickens. All we really require is that if you're in Monroe County, you know, you need to have a coop that's approved by the county. Outside of Monroe County, it sort of goes to your local jurisdiction. But no, there's no fee involved. But, you know, we're always willing to, you know, if we're going to drive them up somewhere in Florida, it's always great to have a donation for gas money or just for our operations. But there's no direct fee involved in it at all.
Okay, so now you did talk about driving them up into Florida. So that's basically where people around, say, my area, we're in Central Florida, wanted to get chickens. We could drive down there and meet you and pick them up.
Yes, mm-hmm. We do that kind of thing a lot, actually. So, yes, we can arrange that if you just call us, like I said, at 305-292-1008.
Now, I know there are a lot of boats coming in and out of Key West all the time. Do a lot of people down there keep chickens on their boats?
I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know of a large number of them, but there are a lot of people that live aboard here. So, yes, I could imagine seeing chickens and roosters on people's sailboats and on boats. So I could guarantee you that is the case. I haven't run into too many cases of that, but I could promise you, yes, anything that could happen with a chicken down here, I'm sure it does.
Wow. Now you have a 3,000-acre place around Lake Okeechobee?
North of Lake Okeechobee. That's correct. It's a wonderful area. It's a place that takes in all kinds of things, old farm animals, old horses, zoo animals. There's some zebras. And this, the gentleman that runs it, he loves them. So he's provided an outlet, which is a great outlet for us because you get to go back into a more natural environment. That's another issue with Key West is that there really are no predators here on a regular basis that keep the numbers in check. I think that's why our population has exploded so much. It can be a bit of a problem because there's so much competition here, for food. And this being a coral island, you would think that Key West would have tons of bugs everywhere, but Coral Island, it's not as many bugs as you're going to have up in Central Florida. There's not as much dirt. You scratch down anywhere over a few inches here, and you're mostly going to hit coral rock. So it's a tough place.
Tom, I'm going to cut you off here. We are running out of time for this segment, and this is Joe always hates when I do this. Folks, we will be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Now, hey, pet lovers, listen up. It's now here, a 100% non-toxic natural pest control that kills fleas, ticks, and their eggs on contact. It is safe for puppies and kittens, too. Check it out at www.thelastscratch.com. Now, we were just talking about, you know, there not being that many bugs and stuff on Key West. Do you have ticks and things? Because I know chickens will eat ticks.
Just like anywhere else down here, we definitely have ticks, fleas, everything that product is designed to combat. We definitely have those down here for sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, getting onto feeding the chickens, now I'm guilty of this myself because I can remember sitting on Duval Street feeding chickens popcorn.
Oh, yes.
And I was just so amazed how they run in and out of like Sloppy Joe's, you know, the restaurants and stuff. And
they,
you
know, do.
Yeah. I mean, run right underneath the table. So, you know, if a kid drops.
Oh, they on the tables too. I mean, this time of year in September, you know, most of we don't have as many tourists here. It goes sort of back to locals. And then a lot of those areas are less full than they usually are during season. And so you get chickens up on the tables. All kinds of things. And that's sort of one of the things we do is provide solutions. You know, if restaurants want to trap them just to reduce their numbers in certain areas, then they can trap them and then we'll take them. So that's one of the services we provide. But, yeah, it's tough. I mean, a lot of people feed them. They sort of look to the streets for food and then end up getting hit by cars a lot. That's probably the largest injury that we get, like I said, we'll go and rescue them if they're injured, and we get a lot of broken legs, that kind of thing. But we're pretty good. We have a high rate of – they're tough. They're tough birds that can get through breaks, and, you know, so we have pretty good results with treating broken legs and things like that.
And I also noticed, kind of unusual for chickens, is they run around at night. I've seen them running in the streets at night, you know, at like 10, 11
That's
o'clock
true.
At night.
It's funny because it's the artificial lighting. There's so many of them, and then when you put them into a situation that's loud, you know, down on Duval Street, and then you've got the lights on all night. So yes, they will. They will stay up all matter of you know, the night making noise. And that's the other thing that happens is once all the snowbirds come back into town, which will be in October, November. Then all of a sudden there's a lot of calls about roosters outside my window, you know, screeching, yelling, that kind of thing. So, yeah, it really is the activity and the artificial light, and they will stay up. They'll sleep during the day or take cat naps, and they will stay up all through the night.
I know. It's so funny to hear a rooster crow at about 11 o'clock at night down in Key West, and they're all over running everywhere. I get the biggest kick out of that. Yeah, and it's just the downers.
Sleep.
Right on the
dock. They have food opportunities too. They, you know, they can run around and get food from restaurants because they're, you know, at night. It's another good time for them to actually feed. So yeah, you're absolutely right about that.
Mm-hmm. Do they get a lot of complaints from people saying, "Oh, I can't stand these chickens. You got to come get them"? Is there a lot of that, or do they kind of tolerate it?
Yeah. We do. It's funny because on the one hand, these chickens are used, you know, as icons for restaurants, shops, you know, even tourism. You'll see the rooster image, you know, used for advertising in a lot of different applications. So I'd almost, the way we look at it, it's half and half. Half the island loves them, and half the island really wishes they weren't here. So do we get a lot of complaints? Depending on the time of year, once you get into when the air conditioners are off and you can start to open your windows and doors, you know, mm-hmm. in the winter, then you'll get a lot of people complaining. So it's a balance, and it's a big problem, too. A lot of times you'll get people, you know, one neighbor is feeding them, and they're all over the yard, and then the other neighbor is you know, complaining about it. So we don't really get involved in those kinds of neighbor versus neighbor issues. That the code department here handles those kind of things, because it can get a little heated down here, as I'm sure you're aware of.
Yes, I am. I am.
In the spring, when they're laying a lot, where do they have nests or anything, or are they just seem very feral, like they're wandering around? So do they just lay anywhere?
Great question. That's another really great question. Yes, very, very much so. A lot of times, you know, a lot of these houses, these old Key West houses, are built a few feet off the ground. And so in these crawl spaces, it really doesn't take much. It's just a little scratch in the ground or, you know, they don't really, all they do is pick a spot that's somewhat protected. And or, you know, they'll go under houses, restaurants, that kind of thing. And then sometimes you'll just find a pile of eggs, you know, just out on a lot or something. So it's, yeah, they really aren't too, you know, picky about where they're going to lay their eggs.
And they are really protective, too, because I've seen kids try to catch the little chicks and the rooster and the hen going right after the kids. That's funny. Yeah.
Yes, they are very protective, definitely. And that sort of segues into, you know, what the actual predators are for them here. And really, there's not that many. That's why the population is exploding so much. The Cooper's hawk, which is a migratory raptor, does come through, and we're expecting them. We've already seen our first couple. Now, they generally aren't going to take large adult chickens. They will take the smaller biddies, pullets, that kind of thing. Occasionally, they'll get an adult, but not very often. And then raccoons will take them as well. But again, you know, unless they catch them while they're sleeping, these birds will put up quite a fight, and a lot of times they'll survive hawk strikes, you know, or raccoon encounters. So not a lot of things out there other than cars. Cars are probably the number one thing that will end up knocking their numbers down a little bit. But that's sort of what the issue here is, and what we sort of try to provide are solutions to overcrowded areas.
Now, are there rules against people just deciding, you know, that chicken is bothering me, I'm gonna take it and have it for my dinner?
Yes, they are protected, so it is sort of a tricky situation. Now, does that kind of thing happen? I'm sure it does, but, you know, I really don't hear that much about it, people actually doing violence to them. We occasionally will get birds in that, you know, have been in one form or another, maybe shot with a pellet gun or a dart gun, but really not that much. Not as much as you might think. They are protected. You know, the police can be called, or animal control, SPCA also will respond if it's a, we do occasionally get situations where chickens are maybe tied to a fence and animal cruelty kinds of situations occasionally, but really we don't see that much of it. I think it's a testament to how difficult it is to actually catch these birds, and they're very smart. I mean, they are very, you know, self-preserving all the time.
And they fly very well.
They do. That's another thing. You're right. You hit on another great topic. They fly better than most people imagine. They can get over a fence. They can get up into the top of a tree. I've seen them fly. They can fly about 100 yards, you know, at a clip and get up pretty high, get up to the top of a tree. So, yes, they're very difficult to catch. And believe me, that's my job. So I know what it's like trying to catch them.
Yes, and I imagine trying to catch an injured one can be worse because they'll be slower but more defensive. Tom, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. We are running out of time for this week's show.
And Tom, we're going to have you back on here, and you know, on future shows, so we can talk about Key West chickens and get these adopted out for you. And I'm going to be calling you.
How much I appreciate it. So thank you.
Okay, and I'm going to be in touch with you myself because I'm going to get some Key West chickens, and I have two neighbors that want some also. So I'm going to get back. I am going to hook up with you here. I've got your number, and I will meet you down there because I can drive down there.
That's right. You've got a closer drive to it than I would. You know, folks, we are out of time this week.
Luckily.
We are out of time this week. I hope you've enjoyed this week's Country Joe's Chicken Show. And, Joe, will you say it with me?
Oh, yeah, this is a good one, Tom. You ready,
okay.
Karen?
Yep. May the flock
be with you.
I'm a great chicken.